tonight is Mama K.
Hello, everybody.
And tonight, that's, you know, pretty good. You're doing well?
It's going.
Going. Good.
Yeah.
Good. We have Bottoms tonight. It's a listener suggestion from a couple people, so I won't put names in, because I don't have them all handy, because they were, honestly, for a couple months ago, so I hope you are catching this now. But we just had, you know, at the end of the year, it's Oscar stuff, and I wanted to see this. It wasn't streaming anywhere. It was only in theaters for a few weeks. I guess it was a little longer than that, but it's now on Prime and somewhere else, I think, but I saw it on Prime. But Bottoms, did you know anything about it before I said, oh, we got a listener suggestion that I've heard of that's streaming? It's usually listener suggestions are not, either I haven't heard of them or they're not streaming or both, so it's refreshing.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a movie that I thought I would wind up seeing in the theater and just didn't somehow, so yeah, I saw the director's, I think it was her freshman work, Shiva Baby. So,
Shiva Baby.
We can talk about that. Yeah. We can talk about that too. But yeah, I did know about this.
And this is synopsis for Bottoms. Unpopular best friends, PJ and Josie, start a high school fight club to meet girls and lose their virginity. They soon find themselves in over their heads when the most popular students start beating each other up in the name of self-defense. That's a really good attempt at a plot.
Yeah.
It's admirable. 90% on Rotten Tomatoes with the critics, 89% the audience, 74% Metacritic, 6.7% IMDb. So you got pretty high to medium high, I guess, for the most part.
Yeah.
Hour and a half. And yeah, this is Rachel Sennett, who made Shiva Baby. Rachel said it starred in Shiva Baby, and
she starred in it,
just like this. And the director writer is the same woman as well, Emma Seligman, and then Ayo Edebiri is the other lead in this. They're all friends in real life; they all know each other afterwards. I watched stuff afterwards with them in this because I wanted to learn more about the creators because they're very young; they're in their late 20s.
Yes.
So they're younger. This is the first movie I think we watched where I think that everyone who's making it is like younger than me. So interesting experience. If you haven't seen Bottoms, streaming there, 90% Rotten Tomatoes. We did everything. We're going to spoil it here now.
Yeah.
So, Bottoms is like a fever dream is overused. I don't like it anymore. So I'm going to say it this time once, and then I don't really want to say it anymore at all. It's a fever dream-ish, bordering on satire parody of like the 2000s. Teen coming of age comedies, raunchy comedies, the Superbads, not another teen movie, but also more girly, like sweeter thing, like Mean Girls, like the cheerleading one. What's the Bring It On? It's got Disney Channel kind of level things, ABC Family movie things, but it's got like also like a surrealist, absurdist edge to it. I don't really, because I have to give you the flavor, because the actual plot is like, these two lesbian friends, they accidentally bump their car into the popular jock, and he gets injured so horribly. They go to juvie, but they don't go to juvie, and they tell everyone, and so they're like, yeah, we're tough now, and we're going to start a fight club to defend the women from the men. And it's a bunch of nonsense just to get from scene to scene of really over the top, like go for anything for a laugh kind of comedy. I have not really seen a movie like Bottoms before, but well, okay, what did you think of it?
Yeah, when you're saying what you're comparing it to is definitely like not another teen movie, which is a great parody of all those coming of age movies that came right before it. I think this is hilarious. It is, I wouldn't say it's a fever dream, but it's sort of like, this is reality adjacent is what I like to think of. It's, you can totally see this, all of this happening in a school, except for you have to take away like certain major plot points, like that they're lesbians and that people are okay with that. And then that they're
No, you don't have to. Have to take away things like there's a guy in a cage in the back of the room, and you have to take away things like there's people in their shoulder pads 24/7. You have to take away things like that. The things that they're lesbian leads, that is exceptionally modern now. That is not the thing that's absurd about it. The thing that's absurd about this is that Marshawn Lynch is like one of the most normal things in this movie.
Oh my god, Marshawn Lynch. I know. When he showed up, I was just like, no, Skittles is in the house. I love this so much. And he ad-libbed most of the stuff, which makes total sense. It sounded 100% like it would be like Coach Marshawn Lynch kind of thing. Not exactly teacher, but no.
You see some of his other takes at the end. Like, they do the things that they don't really do in movies anymore, they did in the 2000s comedies, where you have... alt takes. They're not like people breaking and laughing. It's more just like the alternate like funny things they would have said, and they're all good. I can see why you'd want to put them in.
Yeah, it seems like, I don't know how many days they made this movie, but it seems like it was probably a short shooting schedule, and they just went. I feel like they just went with a lot of stuff. Whatever sort of stuck, they did. It is ridiculous. I did notice the football player in the cage in one of the scenes, and I'm like, why don't we don't know anything about this?
Wonderful. They don't address it.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
And then they don't address it, and then finally they do toward the end, but sort of.
Kind of, I guess. But it's more of just like, oh, we have this here. I guess we should use it. And it was like almost like
they. I 100% want to watch it again just to see what I missed, because those things were obvious. Things were obvious to me, but I'm watching it with your dad, and he's like, I didn't notice that there's a guy in a cage in the back of the room. And I'm like, oh my god, yeah. So what else am I missing, if that's what I picked up on? And they don't, it's really not obvious. It's not shot obvious. It's just shot like, oh, this is what's happening in our room. And yeah, there's a guy back there in the cage. The characters I thought were a lot of fun, and I thought that it was just, I believed things in this movie, except for the football players. That was a little over the top. And I think there was probably a nod to a lot of the movies that were just like not another teen movie. I feel like there were several things that were very much like that overall.
I had a bunch of the bits, because at a certain point I had to stop taking notes, because I was just like,
because there was too much.
I was like, I'm missing too much. I gotta stop. But yeah. I don't talk to an ugly bitch in overalls. Say, hey, I may be ugly, but these aren't overalls. that's so funny. I can't believe it's so funny.
It is hilarious.
I'm losing it the whole time watching this. Like I steamrolled over you. Taking over, because it's just so good. But.
No, I'm not sure how to even talk about it, because I just think that it was made, like I said, I think it was probably a short shoot, but there's not a whole lot really. I don't know that you can find wrong things in this, because it is so out there that you feel like anything that sort of happened, you could say like, yeah, that I would expect to be in this movie. The principal, I mean, everybody is just so, I don't know. They're such caricatures of all these people that you know from the past. Like I feel like the principal was maybe like a nod to Uncle Buck. There's the principal and Uncle Buck, or, you know, I feel like this person is young and super well versed in this, you know, this universe. And it's a very different movie from Shiva Baby. Did you see Shiva Baby?
Oh, I love Shiva Baby. This is way different, but like Shiva Baby is like a regular movie. Like it's really good.
It is.
Shiva Baby is really good, like in like a regular movie sense. But this is like, I'm like, oh my god! I was kind of like, how do you? I'm shocked you could like make something like this and like get away with it and like get a butt. This has was $11 million. Like, I can't believe someone. This 28-year-old woman with, oh my god, after Shiva Baby. And, like, it's like, this is like crazy.
And $5 million was for Skittles, probably. Like, he probably demanded a pretty big salary.
No, I was informed, I have the knowledge that Marshawn Lynch apparently his sister is gay, and so when she came out, he was, like, not, like, chill about it. Like, he was, like, not great about it, like, kind of backwards thinking, and he has since been like, I was mistaken, and I want to mend, and do right. So he took a part in this movie, and I'm assuming he probably didn't demand a ton of money for it, but, like, he wanted to, he was like, I want to be in an LGBT friendly thing, and, like, be on the right side. So good for Marshawn for recognizing his errors and changing and making adjustments. That's good.
Good for him there, but he's also, you know, he's not going to be up in the great actors of the world, but he's not terrible.
No, he's not bad either. He's not like great, but he's like right for this kind of movie. Like he's
super right for the role, and the fact that they did make him a teacher as opposed to, I think they could have made him like, you know, the football coach or something like that. They could have made him something different that might be a little more right up his alley, but I think that he was totally perfect in this role. And
I love all the stuff he just writes on the board. He just, at one point,
yes,
writes, feminism, a mistake? Question.
It's all just so funny. I don't think I've laughed this hard in a movie.
You
in
laugh
a long time.
Oh, I get like there's like a 10-minute stretch where I was like blinded by laughter. It was so good. It just like there's parts where like it goes for more dramatic beats, and because it's so crazy, it's not quite as good. I'm okay with it because I like our people so much that it's like I still like this, but it's not like I'm never gonna be like tear jerked or anything. But when it's the funny scenes, my God, they do go for everything, and it's wonderful.
No. And there's no surprises, like, where this movie goes, sort of. I mean, the only...
I guess, but, like,
you have to buy that the Fight Club is going to happen. You know what I mean? And once you buy that the Fight Club is a thing, then... You're not, because I mean it's like, you know, two friends, and then, you know, they want to meet partners, and so they create this club that has nothing to do with that.
It doesn't make any
sense. Brings the people there. No. It doesn't make any sense, but it follows the rules of not making any sense. You know, if you know what
and
I mean.
And the storytelling follows the storytelling beat rules. It doesn't. That's what I think. I was trying to figure out what it was. I'm like, why is this so working and yet so random? Why is it so like? Like, I don't know what the climax of this movie is going to be. Like, I have no idea. Like, it's going to be... What do they like, murder the other football team because they think that... Because, like, every year someone... it's complete nonsense. It's crazy nonsense. But it doesn't...
Yeah, but that's... For me, that's not, like, the climax. The climax of the movie is when they have the Fight Club and the girl... I can't remember her name. Fights the cage match guy. And...
Oh. Yeah, I mean, that's good. I like that.
That's sort of the, you know, the high point of this movie. And then we do have to figure out, I don't know why we have to. Maybe that's actually the weakest part, is like, I don't know why we have to make this other team that's playing against them. Maybe that sets their parameters for their time, because they had a month from the time we started the movie until the end of the movie to... kind of get this Fight Club together, and it that's what passes the time, is that we're getting closer to this football rivalry game that's happening. So
I guess I know, but like I like that is what it is, but we don't, like, I don't know that until the pep rally at like an hour 10, that's what our conclusion of the movie is gonna be. But I don't care, and I like that I never knew and didn't care, because when you don't,
I feel like I knew that.
Oh, okay. Well, you knew nothing was gonna, like, it was gonna be, or you knew it was gonna be a brawl on a football. It's like, I don't know. How did you predict the end of this movie?
No, I knew that somehow that was gonna be that football game was gonna be the end point. Like, that was gonna be the end of the movie, just because it's referred to so many times that she's not gonna let that go. There's a reason. There's a reason behind it. What happens on the football field, had no freaking clue that was going to happen. So,
that's how you play the game.
Remembering things, the bomb in the car, you know, and how bad they are at, like, egging a house. It's just so...
Oh my God, yes.
Funny.
There's things where, like, they take a low budget and make it better, like, because of... Like, when they're egging the house, like, they have a big house, but, like, they don't want to... in real life, you don't want to mess up a big house. So what if you just right. messed up a little corner and then you shot up
far
away?
Yeah, this one little, these two windows.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, wait, that's actually way funnier. It's like, we just saved a bunch of money and it's so much funnier and more original. The stadium being half empty at the end, like, that's an obvious right? budget saving thing. But it's funnier that because, like, it's just it's like, wait a minute, the other team has no people. Something's not right about this game. Other than there's like seven right. players and they're doing like ballerina twirls, like
and weird things with the mascot. I have to go back and figure that out.
Instead of
some mascot stuff.
But yeah, instead of like drawing attention, like hiding your budgetary restraints, like the camera's always on the empty bleachers while the fight's
right.
like it's just it's so it gets it. I the only notes I wrote down furiously over and over time this was like, this movie gets it. It get like I've been like waiting, I want more of these kind of things, like where like we don't have to think about so hard what's literally happening, like rules, we're more feeling with the feel of the flow of a story that we're familiar
yes.
with, and then turning yes. the beats
but it's
on their
different.
Head. But we turn the beats yeah. on their head, and that's the funniness.
Yeah.
Like, we know everything is going to happen, but no, we don't, because we're going to make it the bizarro version, and then that's where all the funniness is going to come. It's
right.
It's
that's it's, reality adjacent.
Yeah, it's really. Oh my god, I'm glad you had this reaction. I wasn't sure what you were going to say. I didn't know if this was going to be like too like, because this is like a young humor, and you usually skew young with your humor. But I didn't know.
Oh.
I didn't know if at a certain point I'm going to finally be like, oh, Mama Kay's retired from being cool. She doesn't get it anymore. She's over her times.
No,
I've already had to wrestle with that. I'm 30 now. I'm in the 30s. Finally,
I know. Well, and that's talk about how to make your mom feel old is when their child turns 30 is like, how's that possible? Because I'm like 42, so yeah.
That's the thing. This is like one of the first movies I watched where like it's made by younger people than me.
Yeah,
all like the director, writer, everybody, and like and all the people in it, and like. I was like, I wonder how that's going to feel the first time. It's like kind of like the first, like, what's the first time you're going to have a boss that's younger than you? I still haven't had that. But, like, the first time that, like, someone, like, in the next pool of people, not next, but, like, someone slightly younger than you is, like, making a thing, and they're leading
yeah.
a thing, and you're like, what are they going to make? And, like, is it going to... And when they make something like this, it reassures me that, like, we're going to be okay, you know, in, like, a larger
yeah.
sense. I'm like...
No,
oh,
I understand
we're gonna
that.
Be okay. Like these women are making movies. Like we're gonna be okay when all the greats go away. Like we're gonna have Emma Seligman making movies because this is hilarious.
Well, I'm glad you have the feeling about it like that, because this is like, you know, these are the kind of feelings that I have had to have for the last 30 years. So now you're experiencing it as a 30-year-old and realizing
is that what
that
it feels like for you when someone younger than you like starts to like it's like. Do you get that, like, I thought I was going to get, like, a bad feeling. I thought I was going to get, like, a jealous, like,
no.
mean feeling. But I got, like, a,
no.
I got a proud feeling. I got, like, a good,
yeah.
I got, a like a proud of humanity feeling.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's, because, you know what, the world is too much with us. So if you are out there listening to all the diatribe that goes on and not really living in your own world, you're living in, like, the world, the big world, there's no point in anybody covering fun news, happy news, nothing like that. The news is just, you know, thumbs down all the time, everything, no matter what news you listen to or who you're listening to. So when you see these sparks, you know, and every generation is like, oh, that those millennials, or oh, you know, this, that, and
yeah.
the other. And then you raise your kids, and I'm proud of my kids, but it's like, well, that's because, you know, I have a vested interest there. But, you know, right now I work with someone who is between the ages of my kids, and she is on top of it. Like she's the future. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I dig this. I've worked with other people in the past that aren't like that, but this is like, that's same. I feel the same way about her. I'm like, she's the humanity. She's doing it. Like doing it well. It's not just
yeah.
her work life, but she's really, you know, working the whole work life balance and doing things for her and doing things for the world. She's a good person, and she's succeeding as being a good person. And I think that those are the kind of things that I still see, and I'm still like, okay, phew. And if you saw it, and if you knew this person, you would feel the same way. You'd be like, okay, maybe Griffin's gonna be all right. So
No, I say that.
And he is. You both are, you know what I mean? And it's all because it's stuff that you do. I mean, we raised you, but you have to live in the world, and some people just don't do that very well. So
people worry about the iPad kids, and I think we're going to be okay. I really do. I started to think.
Thanks, Emma Seligman. We're good now.
We are. I think I'm fine. Like I'm all good to go. Like we're just keep making stuff like that. And like yeah, they it's a level of like it's an effortless smartness is what it feels like. It feels like this is like this is like a throwaway thing that's like still so great and like it's like overflowing with ideas and cleverness that like it's got it to spare. It's like it can't even be like. And I can't be like a traditional like 5-star that kind of movie because it makes this it doesn't really make any sense. But from an abstract art like just kick you in the face with laughs way it is and
feel good like it you
and yeah you want, like it
no matter what happens and how ridiculous these people are behaving you still want the protagonists to win, you know, you want them to be the winners at the end.
Yeah, you like them a lot more than you do some other teen movie protagonists where, like, you like the movie, but you don't necessarily like the, like, I think it'll, like, Superbad, like, I don't love Michael Cera's character or something. Like, I just, like, they're just they're a moderately relatable protagonist, I suppose, but I don't, like, I love these girls. They're hilarious. Like, I love their troupe that they get together, even if they're the only ugly one showed up or whatever she said. Right.
Oh, we don't. Rachel Seta
is like she. I already knew she had chops from the Shiba Baby and Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Yeah. But this is like, yeah, she's just too funny.
It's so good. It's funny, and I think that Emma must take. She has to know all of these movies like this in the past that have you know sent up the coming of age movies and just really put it in the modern you know. The modern world but it's enough that everybody I think anybody who sees it who has an open mind and an open heart can see their coming of age movie being made fun of you know what
oh
I mean?
Yeah
it's not just this like when you're saying I'm surprised that you liked it I wasn't surprised at all I was not going into it thinking that I wasn't gonna like this movie so I was surprised how much I did like it. Totally different movie from Shiva Baby, but
I thought maybe you'd like 3-star like it, like mixed like it. I didn't think you would like it.
No,
like,
I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, I didn't think you would like it anywhere near. Like I really liked it. I don't think it would have made my top 5, but it would have made top 10 probably like, if I had seen this last year in theaters.
And part of it is it made me feel good for like you know belief in humanity and all that kind of stuff. But it's just funny and it made me feel good. And I've watched a few things lately. That I really liked, but I just didn't really feel good after them. Like, that wasn't, it made me, I don't know. We watched like an eight part thing that was with Jamie Dornan, and it was great storytelling, super slow, but really good storytelling. But it made me so like dejected and sad, and actually now I don't really care for Australia, which that makes me mad. I'm gonna have to fix that.
Australia.
Somehow. So,
like,
yeah,
what,
it made
like the government like what did they like?
No, they were out in the middle of like the Australia that people don't go to, so it's the outback kind of you know,
the communities.
It's basically the communities, and also there's just a lot of dirt and sand, and just a lot of
literally
brown.
The earth there, the environment of Australia.
Yeah, pretty much. And so it was like, oh, and both the main characters I really liked, and I liked the story, but I was just afterwards, you know, I was just like, oh. And we talk about, you know, where do we want to travel next? I'm like, you know, Australia's really down on my list now because I don't want. We're like, we're not probably going to go to that part. Doesn't matter. Australia's got to, I got to do some, you know.
Just go to the, cleansing. I mean, it's a big place. Just go to the couple of,
I know.
It's got a couple of cities, areas.
I know. I'm just saying, though, that's the difference between something that I really liked to watch, but it made me not feel great. But this I liked, and it was an hour and a half of hilarity. And also it I think in a lot of people, when you're watching these kind of movies, you're just like, and you're not that age anymore where you're either in high school, fresh out of high school, you look back and you're just like, oh my God, yeah. I mean, this is, it's not what happened at high school, but I could see this happening in high school. Like, ugh. It's so hard to get through sometimes.
What I didn't understand, or not understand, but like I noticed it, and I'm like, it's just a surprising thing to think of. Like they got the football players, and they clearly like are making fun of the fact that they're always wearing their uniforms, and that also the game makes no sense every time they're practicing or like playing a game. Like it's just not, like they're just doing random things. Like anytime the background is going on, random things are happening, and it's pretty good to just drift off into. Right. But the football players no mention of like how the game is correctly played. There's only one, there's like seven, and there's also seven or eight football players. A team needs like 30 players. Like, you need a minimum of 22, literally, but like, you need like, practically speaking, you need like 30 players to field a team. Alright, so they have seven or eight.
Why are you trying to be practical with this?
I'm saying they're clearly not trying to be, and yet there's seven or eight players, there's only one fat guy, and it's number 77, and everyone, there's no other 70s numbers. That's like an offensive lineman number. And there's no 60s or 70s anywhere else. How did they know to make the one fat guy the 77 and no one and nobody else is that? Like, how did they know to make, that's obviously that, you know, those couple of guys who hit in the middle of the field? Well, they always wear 77 or whatever. Like, how did they know that?
Right.
But they clearly, like, it's that they show up, like, they must know, they must actually know and are purposely just like, yeah, like, we're, you know, we get it. But that level of detail is almost like telling me, like, oh, I know exactly what we're doing, but
but we're not going to do that.
Yeah, like that's a level of deep. I'm like, but you knew that. So how'd you know that, but not everything else? It's like when you're watching Return of the Jedi and you're like, they got spears, but they're braiding Leia's hair. How did they like, I don't know. I thought spears came.
How did that happen?
Yeah, I thought braiding hair came way after a lot of other technology in between spears.
How'd you get an Ewok reference in here?
It was that, and the other part that was killed. They had some good montages in here. It, for a movie that was so great, the montages were just like regular good. I was like expecting like a knock me out of the park montages, but there is one part that's beginning a montage, and it's towards the end when they have their fight, and it's A.O. Debris' character, and the janitor is walking down the hallway, who we haven't seen at all, and she's just like, Ted. No, Ted, come on. And the song starts playing, and he looks, like, disappointed in her and, like, starts looking away and, like, Ted, wait! Ted, please! And it's just like, we don't know Ted, come on. Like, the joke's like
Ted
that.
Ted was on twice before that.
Yeah, but, like,
you weren't paying attention. But
I'm sure he was, but, like...
Well, that was the level of disappointment that happened. That even Ted is not going to clean that, you know, whatever
it said, like,
trash people wrote on your locker.
Yeah, it was like wrestling slut. I don't even know what Fight Club slut.
I didn't see what the last one was, horny, but whatever it was.
Horny Fight Club? I don't know.
Oh, it was maybe stupid, it was.
It was something really dumb. And then he was just like, no, Ted, no! Ted!
Was there any, I don't remember, was there any, like, of the slow walking, you know, situation? I don't remember.
They did stuff like that. They did some stuff like that. Like the ending fight had some slow-mo.
Yeah, but not having like, you know, people walking into a room and, you know, walking
like the head turn
down.
Like, oh, there's the
that kind
the
of
walk
stuff.
Down the hallway.
See, you know what though? Maybe that's too obvious for them and they're like, we're not gonna do the obvious thing. We're gonna do this. And we're gonna put little like Easter eggs for the football folk, number 77. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe Marshawn came in and was like, you can't have the big guy wear six.
Maybe. Like, oh, I didn't even think about that. Maybe he was like, you know that they're
the
not...
consultant.
I don't know. Now I'm trying to picture him, like, give, like, any sort of assistant direction on, like, the football.
Right.
Like, he's not gonna... there's not gonna... No, none of that.
Well, I don't even feel like he was there during any of that. I mean, they were players in his class, yeah. But
well, he had
otherwise.
To, he shared. He was there for some part. Like he was had to have been there for some things. I would imagine he was there for probably like 2 days. They probably had him for like his scenes with them, and like he probably had like a classroom day. And then I think he's at the big.
He's in the gym.
Oh, he's in the gym too. Oh, they must have had him for at least a couple days then. Yeah, because he's in the big
gym.
Fight at the end too. Like he's at the field.
Yeah.
He might not be in it for long, but he is in the field, so they had to at least get him there. So
okay. I want to say he was like, guys, no, this guy can't be 23, or he can't be, you know, a single digit. He's 77.
We got
maybe there's something to do with 77 that's, you know, important. Maybe somebody was born in 1977. I don't know.
Did they say who the lady was that Josie goes to in the trailer park? Rhodes?
What do you mean, did they say who she was?
Why did she go there?
Like who played her?
No, I know it's Punky Johnson. But why? Like, was that just, like, who was that character? I was trying to remember why that she did that.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember specifically. But it was obviously, like, she was the Yoda. She was the guru you have to visit.
Yeah, there's stuff like that where they set up the things and they're like, they're not, the reasons aren't real reasons. They're like story reasons. But I was trying, like,
yeah.
I think it was towards the end of her montage, but I don't remember. Yeah, maybe she should go there for a bite.
She does say something afterwards. So she goes there and then they mention it later on in the movie. So, because she said, even whatever her name was, Rosie or whatever, even Rosie says that this is the blah, 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 blah. So, I don't think it's important. I think something happened. They wanted to fit that in, and they just did. Just like, you know, I'm sure there's other parts of the movie that are just like that. So, I also loved when they were in the cafeteria, and they're sitting. The football players are all sitting at that long table at the back of the cafeteria, like. I don't know, like Da Vinci's Last Supper. Oh,
yeah,
or something.
It's, yeah, it's very Last Supper.
And there is, this, yeah. There is this slow walk that goes there, I think. But I also love when they're getting their lunch from the lunch lady, and then they have outtakes of that. Or I don't know if they're outtakes, but like you said, whatever.
Yeah.
Outtakes of that at the end. That's pretty hilarious. That's pretty hilarious. It's like they let people loose and let them be funny. You know, whoever's there. I know Rachel's in it from obviously Shiva Baby, and I know Otto from The Bear.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know
who Ruby
and Marshawn Lynch.
I don't know Ruby Cruz is the girl who's like the love interest of Rachel Sennett's character. She's in other things currently. People know her from things. Everyone said like I was just reading up other things on this. People really liked her performance specifically. I was like, I thought she was a funny foil, like that, because that character doesn't have to be anything, and she chose to do. Your other people lean into it pretty well. Like your side characters do some good support work here, and like that's, you know, you forget about how many jokes because there's just so many jokes coming at you. Like I like sitting here now, I'm like, there's like eight or nine characters that all had like really good, consistently a couple of one-liners that came through, but you're just like, they get lost in the shuffle because there's so much good stuff coming out from the leads.
Yeah.
It would both.
And Marshawn Lynch.
He's in every time he shows up. Oh, she has a jewelry business. That's what I said. Like, everyone just thinks she's hot. She has a jewelry business. And then they immediately brush it off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's Cindy Crawford's daughter? Cindy Crawford's daughter? Somebody's. Yeah, Cindy Crawford's daughter.
Oh, I didn't know. This is before.
She looks just like her.
I didn't have. Mostly what I was going to do was just be, it was the rest of the movie should be like, oh, remember that hilarious part? Like, I just want to burn bits.
Right.
So I wanted to just basically say, this is the tone I wish Barbie could have had, because Barbie couldn't have this tone because it's too big of a movie, but like, this is what I was hoping that Greta and Noah could have done. And maybe they're just too old and doing regular big, you know, studio things, and Barbie clearly worked fine, obviously, but that didn't, their choice.
So Barbie is bottoms light? Is that what you're saying?
I just like, if I was hoped, like, in my heart of hearts, I was hoping for Barbie to feel like Bottoms felt, made me feel. That's what, that's the feeling I wanted to have coming out. And because at the end of this, at one point, like, in the middle, too, like, when they start, it starts working, and the girls, like, start, like, falling for them. I'm, like, really, like, cheering for them. I'm, like, and they're so in the wrong, and they're so, and it's so silly, and it's so, I'm, like, I don't even know what the plot of this movie is, and I am so happy watching these characters right now. Like, I'm, like, I don't get that very often.
Yeah.
Like, that's hard to do that.
You're right, because think if the two main characters were dudes, and they were doing this to girls, we would not be cheering them on, like, you know,
no, but you
at all.
But I, and like, not only you wouldn't, but I don't think you could do it in a way to, like, this is done in a way where I do, like,
oh yeah,
like,
it would be funny.
Like, this is done in a way where I do, like, it's because it's so crazy. It's because it's so, you couldn't do, like, a straight up movie where they're like trying to legitimately, like, you know, because if you stop and think about it too hard, like that's like, that's why
it's not, it's bad.
That is the one thing. Oh, that was the other thought I had. The only one negative thought I had is that in 10 years, will I still like this? Because sometimes I do go back and not like comedies I really liked when they came out. It happens. Or they don't, or they just, they age quicker than I'd like. Like, I don't laugh at Talladega Nights as much as I used to. I wish I did, but, like, I laugh at Step Brothers still, thankfully. Talladega Nights I loved more in the time, but now I like Step Brothers more because it's held up longer to the time. Like, Heathers I still love, but every year, you know, it's just, it gets a little more faded. Other movies don't have that trouble.
And it might just be that comedies.
It's like horror. I guess horror movies kind of have a little bit of the trouble for like
older. Yeah,
but like dramas, like musicals, especially like most period pieces, they can hold up forever. And like comedies, that those poor things, they just they're stuck in their times a lot of the time.
Yeah, because I think that the drama world doesn't change. Like drama world has very specific rules around it. Comedy world, not so much. So I think when you push the envelope or you do something different in comedy, it has that huge spark at the beginning, and then it is going to have to fade out. It just does. That's how it is. And I mean, I agree with you about the Talladega Nights thing. Sometimes I feel like there's, it's going to sound insane, but like too much story in that. And I don't want to know. I don't want to know all about that story. When you're talking about Step Brothers, it's basically, you know, them and the antics are just still for
Step
me.
Step Brothers is almost more like this, where it's like you don't really care about what's going to happen at the end. Like it's it's the Catalina wine mixer, but like
Catalina wine mixer.
But like you know, like you didn't know the movie was leading up to the Catalina wine mixer at like the 50-minute mark. Like you were like, oh, I can't wait for Dale and Brennan to grow up at the Catalina wine. Like no, you didn't care about that. Like that's not why.
Right.
Like same thing here.
And there's no foreshadowing that that's
no, you're not like
at all.
No, you don't even know that they're gonna be a bit. Like you hope that they're gonna grow up or like just be you know, but like you don't know what that's gonna be, just like in this where like you don't know it's gonna be the empty stadium football fight, like you don't
not just that, they murder all of the opposing
they say something like that, like, they're like
straight up murder them. So
oh yeah,
there's a lot of
just casual
body count in this movie which is more like Heathery. Right? I mean,
yeah, I thought about Heather's.
Teenix has body count.
But Heather still plays by, like, not, but Heather's gets a little weird, surrealist at times, too, I guess.
Yeah,
actually.
It does.
It does. And
the dad relationship.
Oh, the dad is really good.
Yeah.
I still think
but
of the.
It's not. It's.
The,
it's
real. I think of all the funerals. The funerals in that are the funniest.
Yeah.
My son's a homosexual. I love him.
I love my dead gay son.
And JD's just like rolling his eyes. He's like, oh my God, I can get the fuck out of here.
How did this turn out like this? It's good.
I blame not Heather, but rather a society that tells its youth that the answers can be found in the MTV video games. I quote that all the time. It's for nobody. It's for nobody but me. Do we recommend Bottoms? I hope we do.
I 100% recommend Bottoms. This is a really good use of an hour and a half of your time.
You know it's good when there's a Succession alum in it and it doesn't even get a mention to the end. Because, you know, what, I don't know what Mrs. Callahan, that character, does. But
oh, right.
Yeah,
yes.
Doug Mara is in there. What was she in the show in Succession? Like the PR person or something?
Yeah. Well, she's in there because she's having an affair with the
oh, family. Yeah. Can you make me a snack, please? She's or whatever he said. I love the way he says it. He's like, he says it like so matter of factly. Like, oh, yeah, it's just time for a snack now.
I wanted him to say something besides snack, but I wanted him to say, like, cosmic brownies or something.
Oh, more specific. Scooby Gushers. Yeah. Do you have any of the Scooby Gushers?
Yeah.
The blue,
exactly.
The blue ones, the opaque blue ones.
Right. I wanted that.
Yeah. I mean,
anyway,
you know, maybe
it's good.
Maybe it would have cost an extra for the rights. I don't know.
Right. That's true. You got
movie making tough. So, yeah, this is more of whatever this is. I don't know how you even make more of these. Who said it at the Oscars? Cord Jefferson, when he won American Fiction, which we both liked. He was like, stop making $300 million movies, make like 30 $10 million movies or whatever, because like if like two are really good, like you'll make all your money. Like, and look at all the, right. look at all these great $10 million movies that people are clamoring for, like this, like, you know, like this is,
yeah, but then the people sitting in the audience who command $50 million for a movie are like, no, don't do that.
This is all young people. So like, this is the next, I don't know, like this is the next round of,
yeah.
of things hopefully. Happening. Like, you can't just, I'm hoping that like, I think too, like audiences now are so niched out. Like, I think we are all so, we're all so connected that we kind of all get the same things, and so we can niche out to our heart's content as long as we go back to the middle for like the important things, like, you know, society rules. But otherwise, you can yeah. really go to your corner and do whatever you want. And so the result of that is maybe we won't have a bunch of the big, broad movies anymore because they will just not appeal.
They're not going to appeal to the masses.
No, the masses will have enough.
There are no masses.
The every individual will have so much excellent niche content. They won't ever need right. anything but perfect things for them, which will have larger societal implications that I will not have to deal with, because I will probably be dead by the time those start to. You'll be long gone, but you had a good run.
Oh, thanks.
Well, I mean, those are like next.
You had a good run.
You had
well, thanks everyone. This is obviously my last episode.
I would say so you could have been born in a worse time. Crawl in society, the hole. You know. I was listening to a podcast on nuclear. Speaking of downers, I was listening to a 3-hour podcast on nuclear war, and it was just. I don't know. It's
wow. Well, that sounds.
Strange. There's a lot about like how like we haven't found intelligent life in the universe, because it's more likely that any time intelligent life gets close enough to like get to space travel, like we're trying to do, and like get off their planet and explore, they just blow themselves up before they can actually get the infrastructure going long enough. And they were like, "That's actually a new like growing theory as to why there's no life." And, like, oh. Like, that's way worse. Like, that's kind of a bummer, because we have that technology right now, so that's a bummer. But
it's always the infrastructure, though. So
yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, like you're like, oh, it could have never happened. Like, everyone's like, oh, the next generation will always destroy us. Like, yeah, but this generation could do it in like 1 year. They could kill 7 billion people. Like, no, we didn't. You just couldn't practically do that back in the day. People tried, but they couldn't. You know. Bottom's a great
movie. That sounds terrible. I'm not interested in that now. You know, I feel a little better about Australia because you said that, though. So
this could always be worse. Films with the Women in My Life on Facebook. Reach out to me on Instagram. I'm Brennan_podhost, and you can email the show filmswiththewomen@gmail.com. Thank you to who's ever sent in these suggestions for this. I would have liked to gotten Bottom sooner, but your suggestions made it so that it didn't get forgotten. Otherwise, this might have just been something we brushed off or maybe didn't catch up, but it was worth an episode, and I'm glad we got to do it. So
totally was.
Thank you.
I think one of them was marshawn.lynch@gmail.com.
He has a Gmail. He has his own name. As it's a tough get, even for the celebrities.
At marshawn.com. Yeah.
Thanks for being on for Bottoms, Mama K.
Yeah, that was great.
Till next time, this is Brennan signing off, saying thanks for listening and enjoy.
Thanks for listening to Films with the Women in My Life. If you enjoyed being a listener in our life, please rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or on your favorite podcast app. Keep up with the latest from the show on Instagram at Brennan_podhost, on Facebook at Films with the Women in My Life, and on Twitter at FilmsWomenPod. Finally, you can email the show with questions and suggestions at filmswiththewomen@gmail.com. Original music for the show was created by Ian Burke and Chris Iwanek. Original artwork created by Nicole D'Alessio. This show is produced by Brennan Snyder. Thank you again for listening, and enjoy your movies.